I would like to tell you a story. Knife Talk is sponsored by Evenheat, the manufacturers of the finest knife treat ovens available. Find your next heat treat oven at evenheat-kiln.com.
Shit. Oh.
You better keep that in.
Welcome to the final Knife Talk of 2018. Today is New Year's Eve, and I'm here with Jeff Fader of Fader Knives, here with Mareko Momasi of Momasi Fire Arts.
How's it going?
And we are the hosts of Knife Talk, the podcast for knife nerds and knife makers and anybody with an interest in knives. So this show is going to be different to our usual format of show. We're going to be talking about what we've been up to in 2018, what our plans are for 2019, and just a general sort of roundup of the year. So, how are you guys? How are things?
Doing good. Yeah.
How are you guys? It's great to be here on the last day of 2018. Outstanding. Yeah. What a year.
It's been a very good year.
Been a great year. Hey, look, you know, Knife Talk got the reboot in 2018. That's a big deal.
It did. And I have to say how thankful I am, because I've been doing this for about 18 months now, Knife Talk, and anybody who has listened to the sort of older versions of the show would know that it was generally pretty dry. It was myself talking to a guest every week, generally asking the same questions. It got pretty sort of boring. So I asked Jeff and Mareko, who had both been on the show previously, and we had a great time, if they'd come along and host with me. And they have, and that sort of gave us the rebirth of Knife Talk. And I've enjoyed every week doing it. So I want to thank you two guys for agreeing to do this.
Absolutely.
And just for spending that time with me every week.
I want to thank you too.
It's always good fun.
Yeah. Big thanks. That was a huge honor for me to be invited. I know that it's like, you know, it's fantastic. And I'm very grateful to you for, you know, you do all the legwork too. You're doing all the editing, you do the show, the hosting, you do all the... It's a big honor for me, and I know Mareko feels the same.
Absolutely.
Way.
Cool. Absolutely.
So let's start with maybe mistakes we've made 2018. Things that we wish we'd done slightly differently, whether it's work, whether it's life, whatever it may be. What do we think? And we can finish then on something a bit more positive.
I will tell you that I just last week or a couple weeks ago, I just cracked two integral knives, and I right after I fucked up my Damascus knife and I redid it and it looks great, I heat treated two integral knives that I forged and I cracked both the bolsters. But luckily for me, this community is so great. I got a lot of people reached out, and one is Nate Zimmerman of Zim Knives reached out, and he said that he thought maybe my temperature was too hot. And then my personal giant monster guardian angel, I have this monster of a guardian angel, Nick Anger, he slips into my DMs it's like he's my personal genie. I'm so lucky. If something goes wrong and he'll see it, he'll slip into my DMs and it'll be like, hey buddy, what happened? And then I'll say, I cracked it. He's like, what kind of steel were you using? I said, 1084. What temperature did you put it at? I said, I set it at 1520. And he goes, yeah, too hot. You've 1475 for 1084 integrals all day. And then like a ghost, he flew away, like my personal angel. He does that to me. I fucking love that guy. He's a big monster of a man. He's a great guy. And he always kind of quietly sneaks in and talks to me, whispers in my ear, and then fucks away off. I love it. But he's awesome, and so that was my. I ended 2018 with some problems. So we get through them.
It's been a big year for you, Jeff. You did the Epicurious videos. Yeah. You've been basically on different podcasts. You've been everywhere. I've seen your face everywhere.
Well, it's been a lot. So the Epicurious thing was amazing. It was a great experience. It was a fun experience. I don't know if they're going to – they started to invite some of the older people back. I don't know if they're going to invite me back, and what the hell am I going to talk about now? I'd be up for it if they wanted me to come back, but I'm not really It's not, I'm not seeking it out. And I've done a lot of, yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It, you know, I tell you what, the highlight has really become for me is this podcast. I've been a fan of broadcasting and radio since I was a kid. And you know, it's interesting for me in terms of this podcast particularly. I used to podcast a long time ago, but, you know, we're solitary people. I think the people who listen to these podcasts, you're not listening to these podcasts in a working shop because your boss would say you're not getting enough work done. So it's people going into their shops and going into their sheds and going into their basements and they're working and they need some companionship. So I kind of understand that idea of, you know, that broadcasting is kind of keeping you company. So for me to be able to be involved in that and getting the messages out and for us to be able to make dick jokes and fool around, this has definitely been one of my highlights. I would say that this is more of a highlight for me than Epicurious, to be honest with you, because Epicurious is fine. We had a good time, but this is like, I love doing this and I love being with you guys. And this has been, I would say being on Knife Talk has been a giant highlight of 2018. Definitely top five highlights of the year. No question. Maybe top three.
Nice to hear. Very nice to hear.
Well, yeah, it's true.
What about yourself, Mareko? You've had a pretty busy year too?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy. We starting with the lows of the year? Is that what we're talking about? Is that where Jeff started?
I think so, yeah. Maybe things that...
We could go round and round. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
I would say probably the most frustrating thing this year was definitely that stainless Woots build and just... all the delays and the setbacks, all the way down to finishing it and then dropping it on its tip. That was probably one of the biggest low points for me when it comes to making this year. It was just a headache, 2 months of frustration working and it's kind of slogging through that thing. It really made me question, should I be doing this? What the fuck? Like, it was so frustrating. I let it get to me so bad. I was like, what am I doing? It made me want to quit, actually. But fortunately, I have good people in my life. My wife, Jeff, and, you know, just people to talk to and be like, it's cool. It's just shit happens. You can't, you know, things can't be going awesome all the time for you. And so that definitely helped pull me back from the edge. But you know. That was probably, other than that, I think turning down dinner with Jason Bateman, Dax Shepard, and Kirsten Bell was pretty stupid on my part.
Wait, what?
Whoa, rewind.
Who invited you to
that dinner? When I was in LA doing the barbecue thing, it was Alex's Lemonade Stand, which is a childhood cancer research foundation. They do an event every year in L.A. called L.A. Loves Alex's Lemonade. And I was there with Adam Perry Lang helping sling his beef short ribs. And Jimmy Kimmel and Jason Bateman slide up behind us while we're slinging stuff. And Jimmy's talking to Adam, and Jason's just standing there. And I was like, I'm going to talk to Jason Bateman. So... I said, hey, man, you know, I just want to say I really appreciate and love your work you do. I just heard you on Dax Shepard's podcast. So interesting to hear your story and background. It was very touching, and I really appreciate you having being willing to share that kind of stuff. He was like, oh, we should go meet up with K-Bell and Dax at dinner at APL. What do you got going on?
K-Bell. I was like,
K-Bell. And I was like, fucking K-Bell. And I was like,
Jason Bateman just asked me to go to dinner with him and K-Bell and Dax. And I'm like, that's what he said. So my first thought was, or my response was, oh, I'm sure they're good. Like, they don't want it. Like, I'm thinking to myself, I'm a big dummy that plays with metal. Nobody wants to fucking hang out with me, especially them. And so I made the mistake of saying no for them instead of saying, wow, really? That's incredibly flattering. That would be an amazing experience. I was dumb and said, no, you know what? They probably have better things to do. They don't want to hang out with me. And my wife,
oh my God,
if she could have, she would have kicked me in the nuts. But I was
in LA.
She was in Connecticut, so that couldn't happen. But I definitely learned that lesson of not saying no for other people. That was a hard one learning.
You know, Jason Bateman went home and said to his wife, I was chatting to the guy that was on Joe Rogan last week, and he turned me down for dinner. She kicked him in the nuts. Yeah.
He's called my buddy Marmal. Marmal. That's who you're Marmal. I was with Marmal. We're hanging out. K-Bell Marmal. Marmal.
That sounds like a mouthful of something.
Yeah. Well, that was definitely that's a good one. I didn't know that one. That was a good one.
I thought I told that story.
I would have been intimidated. I think I would have been intimidated to eat with Jason Bateman.
Well, and I think
he's a cool dude. Yeah,
he's very nice. And my thing, and it's my own internal shit, is I don't think I'm very special. I don't think I'm very interesting, and I have a hard time accepting compliments. And when people are like, oh, you know, this is really incredible, and I struggle with all of that, and I hate it. I mean, I appreciate it and I'm flattered by it, but I just really have a hard time with it. And so I basically think I'm a giant piece of shit. And so when people are cool people are like, hey, we want to hang out, I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you don't know me. You don't really want to hang out with me. I'm just a big dummy that plays with metal. So so those are the low points.
I don't think you're a giant piece of shit.
Right. Well, and I appreciate it. And that, again,
I think you're fantastic.
That's my own internal, like my own stuff I need to work on. But, and then high points, I would say I 100% agree with Jeff. Doing this podcast has been awesome. It's been a lot of fun. I think it's been a really great opportunity to connect with not only you guys, but with the community that's been built up around it. And just seeing the engagement and seeing the reaction of people has been really surprising. And the second Craig messaged, my first thought was yes, because I've always, especially through my own Instagram account, I love sharing my process and how I do things and stuff like that. And a lot of people ask, why do you do that? And I'm like, I might fucking get hit by a car on the way home. And anything that I know or might possibly be able to share to help somebody else is gone. And so I think of it kind of in that kind of a dark way, talking about
upside. Yeah, you're worried about traffic. You're worried about dying.
Well, Connecticut,
yes.
I'm worried about the traffic in Connecticut. But anyway, no, it's just
– Connecticut's a low point.
It's just, if anything that I say or do or share or show that helps somebody make a difference in their ability to do this work, I'm happy to do it, because this craft has given me – kind of a sense of purpose in a way. Like, up until I started doing anything with knife making, I was, I already struggle with thinking much of myself, but then, I'd never really found anything that I was great at. And so it was the first time I discovered something that I was really not just good at, but great at. And it completely changed my life. And if anything I do helps somebody else discover that for themselves, I feel like I've accomplished everything. So I take as many opportunities as I can to try to create that in other people's lives, because ultimately, I feel like I'm getting really dark, but we're not here forever. And why should it be so as painful as it can be, or as it is for some people? It should, anything I can do to make it more positive, except for myself. I guess.
You're a good man, M. Bell.
We should change the name of the podcast to "Better Hear This Before We All Croak."
Yeah, exactly, I love it.
We will end up with something, a bit more positive towards the end, I think. You know, whilst we're talking about, maybe the bad points of 2018, and Mareko mentioned it as well, but towards the sort of the beginning of the year, so maybe January, February, I was really struggling. So I think it was a case of coming out of sort of Christmas and getting a lot of orders done. I didn't have many orders in at all. When I was getting orders in, I wasn't particularly enjoying the work, I think because I was rusty. I wasn't doing it every day as such. And I reached out to Jeff at the time. I said, Jeff, when I am getting the work in, I'm not happy with my output. And I'm thankful to Jeff, because basically he just gave me a shake and said, look, you need to pull your shit together. The more you do, the better you'll become again. And it was just a funk that I was in for maybe 2-3 weeks. And I think we're all going to get that at some points, I think particularly that time of the year as well, after Christmas. But it's just a case of getting back out there and everything will come back to you. What you do will just come back to you naturally. So thank you, Jeff, for that, because you really did. You really did help out.
I wasn't trying to help you. You know, Mareka, you say you want to help people. I don't want to help anybody. I just want to, I literally just want to pretend like I'm one of my favorite shock jocks. That's all I want to be. I want to be a radio guy. I this could be shovel talk. I don't care. I'll talk about snow shovels. I think you're mistaking me wanting to help you. I don't want to help any of you motherfuckers out there.
You seem genuine at the time.
I'm genuine right now. I just want to tell jokes.
But I mean, aside from that, I mean, you know, spring was good, summer was good. I did my campaign for my steak knives. Made lots and lots of mistakes there. I'm still delivering some of these knives now. Lots and lots of mistakes, but you know, in a way, that was pretty good because it got me lots and lots of orders, restaurant orders, that kind of thing. Mm. So I learned a lot doing that. I don't think it's something I'd do again, but I certainly learned a lot. What else? I mean, obviously not me personally, my wife has had babies this year. So, you know, things have changed. It's been a massive year for me, massive year. The podcast has really, really kicked off from, you know, not being a huge deal to me this time last year to something that I look forward to every year. We've done 2 million streams on this podcast now, so I'm really, really happy about that.
Wow, that's incredible, man.
Yeah, I think that's it with regard to bad points of the year. I think, you know, everything else is looking good. Going into 2019, everything's looking very, very good.
I don't think I have too many bad... I mean, you know, even the bad stuff, you learn from it. Yeah, I mean, You get better from the bullshit's what you learn from. Oh, yeah. You know, I think honestly, if I'm being really honest, is I got to figure out ways to be a little bit more present in my own hand. I mean, you know, personal. I want to figure out ways to be more present when I'm at home. Mm. I think that part of being a business owner is you become fully consumed with the business. And I mean, I'm working on my business 7 days a week, and I'm not in the shop 7 days a week. I'm usually in the shop six days a week, but I need to figure out ways in which to unplug when I go home,
yeah.
You know, not take emails. You know, we went to see the Queen movie last night. We had a blast, and I need to start, you know, turning my phone off at a certain point. And when I get home, I need to like be a little bit more mindful of, you know, being present with my family, you know, yeah. And I'm trying to make this business better. And I know that, you know, the online stuff it means something, you know, even anything I do online, any kind of content that I do, it turns into, you know, every time I post a knife, we get 2 more orders. So I know that the importance of it, but at the same time, I need to like set some serious new blinders because it's becoming a problematic.
Mm, yeah.
My intense use of Instagram and Facebook and all these different social media platforms, which in my mind I'm thinking it's helping my business, but really I need to knock it off a little bit.
Tinder doesn't count.
Or at least limit. Tinder.
Grindr.
Oh, baby.
Grindr, yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Baby. Oh baby. Wow. Yeah, don't yeah.
So
yeah,
so what is right. it you guys are looking forward to in 2019?
I will say that 2018 was awesome because it was my first employee, the great Carl. The great Carl was me, and that has changed the way I do a lot of this, you know, the building of the knives. But I'm really looking forward to my partner and I started this new system where we actually stopped taking deposits in September and kind of leaned our way off to kind of get through everything. And now we're going to be doing this new system where we're going to be giving people start dates. And then we're going to be working on 2 weeks of working custom orders and 2 weeks working knives that we can sell direct. Mm. And I think I'm really excited for that. I've even started getting some stuff ready to sell on our website. Our website's brand new. I haven't really talked to you guys about this, but I was contacted by a literary agent who was interested in me maybe doing a book of watercolors. Yeah. And we've been talking, and she came to my shop, and it was she was very, very, you know, excited about what I'm doing. And so I'm actually, my partner and I are going to start by just doing more. I'm going to be doing more prints. We're going to start selling prints this year. I'm doing watercolors. We're going to make prints, and then we're going to use that to kind of start to put a book together, a book of watercolors, and that's really, really exciting, and I haven't really talked about that very much. And then the way we're doing our new orders, I'm able to be a little bit more creative, and we're going to be doing a little bit more one-off knives, and that's really going to be a new revenue stream, really. Mm. I'm not going to be just taking custom orders. We're going to be able to kind of have inventory.
Nice, right. Nice.
So that's very, very exciting.
Well, I've got big plans for things going forward in a similar vein, the way that I'll work with custom orders, that kind of thing. So I'm going to do just 52 custom orders throughout the year, so one a week. The rest of the time, I'm going to work on what I'm going to be calling stock knives. So for the last sort of 6 months, I've had sort of steak knives that have been stock knives. They're there to buy and almost deliver immediately. Still all, you know, handmade, all the rest of it. But I make sure I'm blocking off time to just do a bunch so they're always ready. So it'll just be one a week of a custom order. And the way that's going to work with the website is you can go on, you can buy a stock knife anytime. So I'll be needing to get some chef knives done. I want to get some bread knives done, some oyster knives, some butter knives, some fillet knives. I want a bunch of knives that are there, which are relatively low price, because they saved my ass this year, the steak knives. They're relatively low price, but they've shifted, you know, in quite big numbers. So that's the plan, to have stock knives in at all points, work on one custom order a week. And the way that I'll work with the website is, so you can go on, you can either buy a stock knife or you can go to custom, and you'll see an actual build date of when the next build date is. So you'll pay your £50, which is basically $50 at the moment. Everything seems to be on par, dollars, pounds, and euros. You pay your £50 for the date that you see the date before you buy. Once you do that, that date will automatically change by seven days for the next person to come and buy.
Oh, interesting.
So you're buying your slot outright. You know exactly when it's coming. That'll be easy for me admin wise because, you know, people know exactly when their knife is coming.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm starting fresh, so from January the 1st I'll be completely fresh, so there'll be a build spot available for January the 7th, you know, and if anybody buys that week they'll have January the 14th and so on. So I'm hoping to build that out, you know, to fill up the year with the 52 custom orders.
Yeah,
but I'm also always going to have these lower priced knives always in stock. So that's a bit of a combination of the type of thing that Jeff does with, you know, people having their build date. Also similar to what Toma does at Florentine Knives with his sort of stock knives, which are always already in stock. And I think it's just a way of sort of managing orders and managing turnover and cash flow. So there's always an option. Somebody can always go on the site and buy something. But if they want to spend a little bit more, or they want something custom, that option's there, but it's setting that expectation immediately. They know when delivery will be, you know?
I like this idea because the reason why we're doing it is because a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, there's so many emails that go back and forth with people who would probably just say, you know what, I'm just got buy this now.
Hmm.
You know, the custom orders can be very laborious in terms of getting that sale. So to have stuff available, it's a different style of revenue stream that might be, you know, it's a different style of revenue stream.
Yeah.
And I love that idea. And not to mention, I'm going to be sending you an oyster knife. We're doing a collab, right?
Yes, yes. So that's something else I want to do a lot more of this year. But
I haven't forgotten.
Myself and Jeff are going to do a collab. We're not quite sure what we're going to do with that knife yet, are we? Whether it's going to be raffled or whether it's going to be charity.
You figure it out. I just heat treated a pile of Sidewinders.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna send you one. So I'm gonna put it in the mail, and I'm gonna send you a pair of tongs. I made a pair of tongs for you because I'm sick of you with your stupid pliers, heat treating knives with a plumber's
pipe wrench.
Pliers. Bullshit. It's some bullshit. We're not doing that anymore.
Yeah. So look out for that. Our collaboration on that oyster knife. I said it would be nice to do that for a nice cause as well, not just sell it.
Whatever you want.
But what about yourself, Mareko? Going forward for next year, business wise, have you got any sort of big changes coming?
I would say the biggest change I got coming up is, so we've been in Connecticut for the last year and a half, and being so far away from family has actually kind of taken a little bit of a toll on us, and all of our family is back in Washington. So we are going to be moving back to Washington, actually.
May,
probably like late May, maybe June, somewhere in there. And more than anything, it's, you know, it's just to be close to family, to have the support of family. Like we talked about before in previous episodes, you know, the knife making, you can basically do it anywhere, especially with social media allowing you to connect with people all over the world. And it's a hard call because, I mean, it's not cheap to move cross country. But I think ultimately it's going to be the right call for us. And again, you know, and our little guy, he's probably going to be an only child. But when we move back to Washington, he'll have a bunch of family around, you know, a bunch of cousins that are all the same age as him. And so he'll just have kind of a built-in community there. And we've unfortunately kind of struggled to kind of develop community here just because – and, you know, we, like I said, we've only been here for a year and a half, but – I don't know. It's just different over here, and again, it's just so far away.
You keep insulting their driving too. That can't be good for you.
Well, it's the truth, so fuck them when it comes to that.
Yeah, Connecticut kind of sucks.
But I mean, business wise, I mean, I closed down my books, order books last year, and so I'm just gonna be kind of still working on grinding away. I've been looking at different avenues for kind of switching up my business model a little bit. So I'm doing a little bit more of a mixture of custom stuff with some ready-made stuff. But right now, I don't know what that looks like exactly. I think the biggest deal for us is going to be moving back to Washington and getting reestablished over there, getting a shop set back up over there. There's probably going to be a slight delay with things, unfortunately, but that's just kind of what comes along with a move like that. But hopefully be able to transition pretty quickly. I've been looking at actually some collaborations myself since you fuckers left me out. No, I'm just teasing you.
We could do a three-way. If you want to make a billet, send it to Jeff. He'll do the shaping and I'll do the finishing. That could be great.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
that's the old...
We nearly got you roped in there.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's fine.
The Tri-Lab. anyways, yeah.
Yeah, that sounds better than the three-way, if you don't mind me saying so. I'd prefer the Tri-Lab, if you don't mind.
I have some collaborations I'm looking to hopefully do with our buddy Don Nguyen, who's been a guest on the show. You should go back into the archives to listen to that. It's a good conversation Craig had with him. Some other makers in the nothing that I've really got nailed down. And every year I do like some nonprofit like a donation to be auctioned off for a nonprofit. Last year I had one, that one in LA went for $5,000, which is awesome because all that goes to the foundation. I feel, you know, I feel great about doing it, but also, you know, it's going to a good cause. But yeah, other than that, some collaborations and a move. Those are the biggest things going on. So if anybody's looking for a shop in Connecticut or looking to do some work in a great, well set up shop, get a hold of the guys at Dragon's Breath Forge.
You mentioned before, didn't you, about having some sort of like collaborative shop, and that was the dream, you know, in the future. Do you think that's possible now, moving to Washington?
Yeah, I do. I still think that is something I really love what's going on at Dragon's Breath Forge. Having all that sweet, I mean, it's a lot of great equipment, a lot of space to work in. The biggest issue is just it's too far for us from our family, and so. Mm. But to potentially like create something like that over on the West Coast would be pretty rad. But
can I make my personal Legion of Doom group out there with you? I think that you get a little, if the Legion of Doom, that's Mareko's space with the new group, not Dragon's Breath Form, the Legion of Doom. You got
that sounds very negative.
You get Jeremy Spake in there.
Oh yeah, okay.
Right? Yeah. He's up there. Get Jeremy Spake. Maybe you get a little Jake Farum in there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I like it.
Maybe a little Nick Wheeler.
I've been talking to Nick Wheeler.
And then you have that. That is the Legion of Doom right there. That's the Legion of Doom.
There's some great makers up there.
Can you imagine? Legion of Doom.
Unstoppable.
Oh!
So we've all got plans. We've all got good plans for 2019.
Yeah.
It's good to hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good plans. We gotta figure some stuff out. I might actually be doing another hammer in sooner rather than later with before Mreko leaves. We're gonna do Fader Knives hammer in with the Modern Forge boys. And if I'm looking forward to that sometime after January. We're gonna have to see what Mr. Sunset Forge has to say. He's just had two babies too, so we want to make sure he's there, and Cliff Dufton, and we're gonna get an old school hammer and make sure we send Mreko off with the Modern Forge boys.
I gotta teach those guys some Damascus stuff.
You might have to teach them. They might not want to listen. I have said this before. We are all not Damascus guys, but I'm sure it would be, you know, I'm sure, yeah, for sure.
I'll make it palatable.
They might just want to make axes. They just want to make axes. Who knows?
Pretty sweet.
All right. We're going to do it. It's going to happen. We're going to make it happen.
But you know what, Jeff? If you can't make it, it's fine. It's fine. There's plenty of impersonators out there who could.
Oh.
So we are...
Now that's...
We asked this week on Instagram. Well, we didn't ask, actually. They just started appearing. People doing impressions of Jeff in his shop from, you know, Jeff's sort of live videos, that kind of thing. So
I've created quite a caricature of myself.
So we asked people to send in their videos. Obviously, video is not going to work too well on podcasts, but I've ripped off the audio. So I've got three here. Of varying quality, I'll be honest with you. They're varying quality.
So are we going to vote on who is the winner?
I think we should. We'll send them a Knife Talk t-shirt, yeah. Yeah. And this will be the last of these Knife Talk t-shirts too, so it'll be a very special shirt. Let's have a look. Who have we got? So first off, we've got Racer Rax on Instagram, and he's done an impression of Jeff, so let's have a look. Let me just turn this up.
What can I say? Fucking exploded.
That's
it. I don't know. I mean, I just curse all the time.
That's
I
it.
Guess.
You just, what can I say? Fucking explode. Let me play it again. It's very quiet.
What can I say? Fucking exploded.
That's terrible. That doesn't sound anything like Jeff.
No, look, I feel like that's not an impersonation.
No. Yeah.
I appreciate even, you know. Look, what can I say?
Let me play the next. The next one is Mike Dipple Blacksmith. And his video is actually very good, but I mean, this is the audio. Give me a second.
Here we go. 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Like 10 minutes. Doing a live feed. Be there. Or don't. I don't care. That's my Jeff Fader. Here we go.
That's it.
I will say this. He got the throat. I think that for some reason I use the throat clearing like punctuation. I do this thing where I clear my throat all the time, and I don't know why I do it, but it sounds like it might be a comma. And then the other thing he's got my internal dialogue of whether or not I'm like, you know, I'll say something and then in a second later I'll contradict myself, or I'll be like, why did you say something like that? And then I just say it out loud. So he had that kind of like. That ping pong conversation I have in my own head. So the throat clearing was clutch, though. I like the throat clearing. I do that a lot.
This could be a new section. Jeff, judging Jeff. I like this.
Yeah.
Let me get this last one ready.
Yeah. Here we are.
Oh, Jesus.
Listen to Knife Talk Podcast. Fuckers.
I love
Jesus
that one.
Christ.
I love that.
I speak very sing-songy. There's a lot of changes in octaves in the way I speak. So, you look. What can I tell you? I appreciate. I don't know if I appreciate it. Be honest with you. That's Josh Scott Knives. He's actually been doing impressions of me for a while now. It's not his first one.
Here we are.
Yeah, here we are.
Listen to Knife Talk Podcast. Fuckers.
Yeah. I will say that if you want to do a real Jeff, you got to have the throat clearing, and you have to – for some reason, I started talking through my teeth. That's what I call it. My wife started saying, why do you talk through your teeth? And sometimes I talk with like fucking grit my teeth, and I talk through the gritted teeth. So that would be – yeah.
So I think Josh Scott's got to win there. I think Josh Scott is
– Look, I like what Mike – I like that throat – that subtle throat
hear
clearing
that,
from Mike Dipple.
I want to hear that second one again. Yeah, Mike Dipple.
Yeah, Mike Dipple.
Get ready. Just a sec.
Here we go. 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. Like 10 minutes. Doing a live feed. Be there or don't. I don't care.
This is all so ridiculous, and I'm listening to people do their impression of how crazy I sound. And that's the thing. It's not normal conversation. It's not like an accent or something. It's all of them are, I'm deranged, and I'm going to do an exaggerated version of the derangement.
That's an impression. That's what an impression is. So who do you think's got the best there? So we've got Racer Rax.
I don't know if I
we've got Mike Dipple, and we've got Josh Scott.
I think my vote's for Mike.
My opinion.
Mike Dipple.
Here's my opinion. I should be the last person. Go ahead. I get a voice, don't I? Sure, it's my fucking voice, for God's sakes. You go last. I'll go last.
Okay. I personally think Josh Scott, just because he leans in and he goes, you fuckers. I like that.
He looks strange. Well, I'm going to be the spoiler because here's what I'm going to say. And I appreciate both. I appreciate that Josh Scott started this, even though he's got this kind of strange, it's like a mix of like Johnny Depp and Jack Nicholson or something like that. I'm not 100% sure where it's going. And apparently all I say is fuckers, which, you know, it might happen or so. I will say Mike Dipple has got the throat clearing, which I immediately said he listened to me because I do clear my throat as punctuation. And I do that kind of changeover conversation. I'm sorry. Josh deserves a T-shirt because he started this off. But if you're using those three, I'm going with Mike Dipple. I'm going with Mike Dipple on the because of those little weird subtleties.
Mike, you're a winner. You won it.
Josh, Mike. You got to get some. I'm going to take care of you, Josh. I know he sent messages. I better win. I'm with you. Look, I don't know what to tell you.
You know what the funny thing is?
While we're doing this, somebody else did a couple. There are a couple more before when we just started this. I couldn't play them, so I say Mike Dipple gets it.
Mike Dipple gets it. But with peace
and love to everybody else. You fuckers. There you go.
Cool. So that's 2018 in a nutshell. It's been a good year. We're flying in 2019. We've got big plans here for the podcast. And
we do?
Well, you know, in our heads, maybe. In our heads.
What?
But
Oh, Jesus Christ. I thought you were going to be like, you're getting rid of everybody, and we're going to get Mike Dipple in.
We found your replacement.
Mike Dipple's taking over. Mike Dipple and Josh Scott, they're going to just be crazy people all the time.
But, you know, like we say every week, we really want the listeners to be involved in the podcast. So going forward to 2019, send us content. Send us stuff that you want to see featured in the podcast. We'll do our best to get you in as well if we can, if we can get the audio in.
I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt you.
Go for it.
I want to see you guys do an impression of me. Can it happen?
I can't do it on the spot.
Not on the spot.
Jesus Christ.
Let me take a
Here you go. Go ahead.
Right. So it starts off, you've got to get really into the mic. You've got to go like quite into the mic. So it's quite quiet. Quite quiet.
I think you win. You're out, Mike. Craig wins.
I think we blew a few eardrums out there, hopefully.
That's for Kyle. That one's for Kyle.
But that's it. That's 2018. So I want everybody to have a great 2019. Keep in touch, and we'll be speaking soon.
Peace and prosperity.
Thank you all.